Our next halacha really has a story that goes with it, and I think it's better if we hear the story before we do the halacha, because then it's an easier way to remember the halacha. The Talmud tells us we have a prohibition called Lo tonu ish et amito. Shouldn't afflict your fellow man. So the Torah repeats this prohibition twice. And it seems that the Torah is telling us there are two ways in which we are in fulfillment of this mitzvah. One is, when you do business, be fair with the person. If you know that a cup of coffee costs 8 shekel, 12 shekel in this neighborhood, don't go charging him 50 shekel. You're a taxi driver and the meter reads 50, you know it's 50 shekel, don't go charging him $50. You have newcomers to town, right? Don't cheat people in business. The Torah says, Lo tonu, don't afflict your fellow man. So the simple reading is, don't afflict them in business. Chazal said, it's not only in business, it's also in speech, that you're not allowed to say anything that's hurtful to someone else. From here we have the prohibition, the biblical prohibition, to say something that would hurt someone's feelings. Lo tonu, don't afflict your fellow man. So the Talmud has a few stories describing how careful one has to be with this and how much God cares how we speak to one another. And the Talmud tells us the story of Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus. Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus was a fantastic sage. He was the Rebbe of Rabbi Akiva. He was a disciple of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. He was a disciple of the Academy of Shammai, Beis Shammai. And Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus was a fantastic genius. He was in his mid to late 20s when he finally started learning Torah, but he caught up and he became one of the giants of Jewish history. And Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus would argue with the rabbis. They'd say one way, and he'd prove the other way. And they'd say, but our tradition is this way. And he'd say, but I say the other way. And it went back and forth. And one time there was an argument about a certain oven called Tanur Shel Achnai, an oven that had been broken into three parts and then rebuilt. Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus said that the way it was rebuilt did not constitute a reconstruction, and so this vessel would never get defiled and everything you did in it was pure, and the rabbis disagreed. And Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus said, well, if I'm right, then the tree is going to uproot itself and go 50 feet down, and that's what happened. Gemara and Baba Metzia. If I'm right, then the stream is going to start flowing backwards. And the stream started flowing backwards. If I'm right, the walls of the academy are going to cave in. The walls started caving in, and then the chief rabbi stood on his feet and yelled at them, and they stood frozen. They didn't straighten out because Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus, out of respect for him, they didn't come crashing down out of respect for the chief rabbi. A heavenly voice came out and said, what are you guys arguing with Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus for? He's right. The chief rabbi stood up and said, God, you told us to judge the Torah based on our tradition and our understanding of the tradition. This is how we understand. This is how we have to work. Now, the chief rabbi, Rabban Gamliel, was Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus' brother-in-law. Meaning, Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus was married to Rabbi Gamliel's sister. The rabbis decided at that occasion that they are ostracizing Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus. He has to be kept out. Obviously, he went too far in arguing with the rabbis. They felt that you can't work things this way. And they placed him in halachic ostracism. So, he goes home, he tears his clothes, and he continues learning Torah. He was a master of Torah. He davens. Okay. His wife, well, her brother is the one who did this to Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus. So his wife is concerned about her brother, his brother-in-law, Rabbi Gamliel, the chief rabbi, that in heaven they might punish her brother for what he did. And remember, the Gemara's theme, the point that the Gemara is driving, is how careful we have to be not to hurt someone's feelings with what we say. Because, you see, the courts were in the right. The court decided to ostracize Rabbi Eliezer, and nonetheless, Rabbi Eliezer's wife was concerned that her brother, who was the chief rabbi who headed the movement, he might get punished. So the Talmud tells us that every day he would daven Shmoneh Esrei at home. He couldn't go to shul. They had ruled him out. And then it came time to say Tachanun. And when it came time to say Tachanun, every day his wife would find a different excuse to distract him between Shmoneh Esrei and Tachanun. Honey, did you tell me you wanted your breakfast well done? Or did every day she's have another excuse? Come and disrupt his concentration. One day a poor man kept her at the door. And her husband finished Shmoneh Esrei and went straight from Shmoneh Esrei to Tachanun. Rachum mechanun, Hashem male rachamim rachem alai. What do we say in Tachanun? Hashem, you're so merciful, have mercy over me. She's standing and talking to the poor man and suddenly she realizes, oh no, she runs back. But it's too late. He's already started saying Tachanun. He's already saying Tachanun. And by the time she could distract him, her brother's dead. Her brother, the chief rabbi who had ostracized Rabbi Lezer ben Hurkanos, had dropped dead. So our halacha is about this idea that you're not supposed to have a break in between Shmoneh Esrei and Tachanun. And here you see the Gemara tells us how potent this prayer is, that a person has built up throughout all of Shmoneh Esrei, and finally he comes down to Tachanun, he throws himself down before Hashem, and he says, help me out, merciful one, have mercy over me. And so the halacha says, you're not supposed to talk in between your Shmoneh Esrei, and then Chazaras HaShatz, and then Tachanun. If you did talk, okay, what can you do? You're still going to say Tachanun, and it's kosher, but it doesn't have the same weight. So lechatchila, we don't talk in between Shmoneh Esrei and Tachanun.